Thank you so very much. The music was beautiful. Are y'all blessed this morning?
Amen.
All right. How many's happy in the Lord?
Amen.
All right. Well, let your face know it. All right. Last thing I want to do is stand up and speak to people who look like they've been sucking on lemons before they come to church. But you're not that way this morning. You're all happy in the Lord. I met some of you earlier, and it's a privilege to be here in the beautiful West Virginia. I told the group last night, when I first drove in, I actually drove here. I had to go to Evansville, so I came on through Route 64. And when I came into West Virginia, I suspected that it was a beautiful state, but I couldn't see anything but mountains for so long that I wasn't sure. But now when I got into this area, I can look out and see the plains and see the mountains too. Fabulous place. God is good, isn't he? And when I go to the black churches, when I say God is good, they finish it. All the time. There you go. All right. Well, I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful for what God is doing in the hearts and minds and lives of his people today, that we have no news. I have no news to give you today except good news. So if you're one of these people that always something's going on in your life and there's always trauma and drama, all these things, you're not going to hear that today, because I'm not going to waste my time giving the devil any credit for anything he did. Right? Because all I want to talk to you about is we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today.
Amen.
Right? I know that he's living, whatever man may say. You know the rest of that song. So I feel so blessed to be in a ministry that for 32 years that is still going and still growing and reaching people around the world. Last night I talked about miracles. And how many was here last night?
Amen.
All right? I talked about many, many miracles that God is in the business of creating miracles. You see, Satan is an imitator, and God's a creator. There's a big difference. Satan's an imitator, God's a creator. God is in the business of creating beautiful things around the ugly, ugly circumstances of sin, death, disease, and sickness. So we don't have to worry about any of that, because when you put your heart and your mind and your life into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can read the back of the book, and it says we win, right?
Amen.
So each and every one of you today, no matter what you're going through, I don't care if it's physical, if it's financial, if it's domestic, family, whatever you're going through, God has an answer. He hasn't forgotten you. He's there. He will supply how much? All of your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I'm going to continue a little bit from last night. I had some other things I want to talk about. And then pretty soon, when the service is over, we're going to make sure that you each get a copy of a brand new book that we just did. It's absolutely free, but it's called Spiritual Vigilantes. It's something I didn't want to write, but felt like I had to write. And I'm glad I did, because I'm always glad when I do something the Lord impresses us to do, whether it's popular or not with people. But I want to continue talking about miracles, because so many times we think we have to look back to the Bible and look back to the Bible and to read miracles. God is in the business of still creating miracles.
Amen.
And so that's what makes him a miracle-working God, a creator God, is that he can do that. And last night we gave some instances that I would ask, is this coincidence or divine providence? I have some more, and one that's really on my heart this morning. It is amazing to me, but 2 years ago, about this time, 2 years ago, I woke up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, one thought came to my mind, London. Now, I fly around the world, and I've been through London, never really stopped, done anything. I maybe have done one service there 20 years ago or so at some churches. Hadn't been there in years, wasn't thinking about London, but I wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, this thought is London. Evangelism, go to London and do evangelism. Now, 3ABN, I have to tell you, we were struggling. We were struggling financially last year. A lot of ministries are. But yet, I know God, where God guides, he provides. So we're always looking at, wait a minute, do you have money enough to do this? Do we have money enough to do that? But I've always said, I won't beg for money, won't borrow money. So God, if this is you, you have to supply every need. But we don't have any money in the bank. I can tell you that right now. We have no money in the bank, never have for 32 years. That's not spoken for. When people give money, it's in there till we spend it for what it takes each month. Every month I step out in faith. We have to, about $1.5 million, because it takes at least $1.5 million, sometimes more, to keep 3ABN going and growing. Well, as a supporting ministry of the church, we don't get money from the church, and we shouldn't. So when they take up media offerings and all of that, it does not include 3ABN, which is fine, because we're a separate entity of the Adventist church. So I said all that to say this is not a complaint. I'm just telling you the way it is. So every month we step out in faith. Our transponder bills, satellite bills, we're on 9 different satellites, and it costs around $250,000 a month just to pay the transponder bills. Now, being on the internet, that adds another probably $20,000-$30,000 a month, because the more people watch, it's a good problem. More and more people are watching 3ABN, but every time they watch, it costs more money because it takes more bandwidth. But I said the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine. He sings with the Gaither Vocal Band, Reggie Smith. And Reggie's been on 3ABN for a long time. We've been friends for 15 years. And he said to me, Gaither gets almost 50 million hits a month on the internet. 50 million. I mean, that is a lot of hits. Well, you know what a hit is? The hit's when somebody goes to your site on the internet, types in Gaither, Bill Gaither's. 50 million people a month type in Bill Gaither to see what's on that site. Now, that's incredible. I said, that's more than probably our whole church gets a month. I said to my IP folks, I called them in, and I said, why is it that Bill Gaither, one individual that has a group of singers, can get 50 million hits? 50 million people around the world go to his website, and we're a television network with 9 networks. We're literally reaching the world 24/7, and I got a feeling we don't get 1 million hits a month. What is going on? So Moses Primo, my director of broadcasting, said, can I come down in a few minutes? I'll talk to you about it. I said, absolutely. Well, I'm the president of the network. I'm supposed to know what's going on, right? So he said, how many hits do they get a month, people that type in to go look up Gaither? And I said, about 50. Reggie told me, I said, it seems impossible, but about 50 million people. And he said, when I called him in, it was May 19th or May 20th. And he said, well, let me just show you, because we know exactly how many people hit our website, because we pay for that bandwidth. So he said, let me show you how many people hit 3ABN that somewhere in the world typed in 3 Angels Broadcasting Network and went to our website. Let me tell you how many hit it between May 14th and May 19th. Well, that's 5 days. I said, okay, how many? 55 million. I said, what? I said, 55 million. I didn't know they hit that. I didn't know they hit it a year. I didn't figure Seventh-day Adventist, the whole world church. I said, are you kidding me? He said, no, on any given week, we get 50 million, 60 million. During the week, it's slow. We might only get 28 million hits. But weekends, we get, and I was amazed by that. Now, after 32 years, and I'm supposed to be the president, know what's going on, I had no idea, but sometimes we're back in our own little world. But I'm so thankful about technology and what the doors that God is opening up to reach people. But that encouraged me so much. I said, well, a hit means they didn't just, you don't, on the internet, you don't stumble onto it. You have to type in for it to be called a hit. It means somebody hit your website, they went to it. And what we found out is that people that hit it were watching an average of 23 minutes. So people that not Adventist around the world, millions are hitting and actually staying on, not just turning off, but staying on as an average for that week, 23 minutes. That's amazing to me what God has wrought. So I think about starting this television network 32 years ago in a cornfield, how God has been providing every need this entire way. Well, when I woke up with London on my mind, I went to the board, my group there, not the board, but our executive committee there, and I said, you know what? I said, this morning the Lord woke me up 2 o'clock in the morning and said, we need to go to London. And I don't know why. I don't know anybody in London. I don't know who to talk to, but I think that we ought to do it. And everybody said, well, let's do it. That's what the Lord impressed. So C.A. Murray said, well, I know the president of the conference there in London. I'd met him. I can find his number. I'll call him and see if he's interested and 3ABN coming over and doing what? I said, well, I guess evangelistic series. So he said, well, I'll call him. So he got a hold of the president. The guy said, man, I'm all for it, but I'm leaving. There's a new president coming in. You'll have to talk to him in a few weeks. So I said, well, let's see what happens. A few weeks later, he talked to the new president, Elder Richard DeLisser, and Elder DeLisser said, you know what? I am so excited about this. We want to work with 3ABN. We want you to come over here. The last time we've had a major campaign in London was 1988. Mark Finley, 1988. So I said, well, the Lord is blessed. We need to go turn the city upside down for Jesus. Now, here's what I found out. I started doing a little bit of homework. Found out there in London, witches register. I never heard of that, did you? If you're a witch, you register with the government. And like a preacher, you registered. What I found out in the city, Pastor Mike, in the city of London, there were 30,000 registered pastors, preachers, right? Because it's 8 million people. But there are 80,000 registered witches. 80,000 registered witches in one city. Now, there's 1.5 million Muslims in that city. It's one of the most culturally diverse cities on planet Earth. So when I went to London and I talked to some of the conference leaders and the communication director, I said, we want to rent a huge building. We want to advertise. We want to hold, at least get 8,000 or 10,000 people. We'll get somebody over here, a John Carter or Doug Basher. We'll bring somebody over here, and we'll hold these meetings for 2 weeks. And you know what they told me? We can't do anything like that. I said, why not? They said, nobody will come. I said, why not? They said, well, first of all, they don't want religious stuff. I said, are you on television at all? Are you kidding? He said, 1 minute advertising spot on the television will cost anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 a minute if you want to advertise. Because I said, well, we could advertise on television and newspaper. You can't afford it. It's impossible to do. London is a closed out city. All we can do, so the conference met and they said, well, let's do 14 churches throughout London, 14 Adventist churches, bring over 14 speakers, as many 3ABN speakers as you can. We'll provide two or three or four, and we'll just hold two-week series and invite what public we can, which really means how many is going to know about it if you don't use television, you don't use the newspaper. They said it's just impossible to do, and all I could know is, you know what? The Lord said, go to London. We should turn this city upside down. Where God guides, he provides. So we went over there. We ended up, instead of getting a big building, we got 14 churches. But I noticed night after night, God would provide miracles. And people came. And we'd have each of the churches we'd visit each night. And we would see maybe 100 visitors, 50 visitors. And it ended up in some 100 and some baptisms and several hundred people studying. And that's all great. And that's wonderful. They were so excited. They put in their union paper, the biggest event in the history of the church in London in 30 years, and nearly 30 years. And so, but still yet, every day during the night, we had all the meetings. Today, we would walk down the streets of London, down by Big Ben and down by what they call the Eye, down to London Bridge. And we'd go there and I'd say, Lord, there are millions and millions of people in these apartments that's not hearing the gospel. They say it's impossible for television. It's impossible for radio. We can't do it. As Adventists, shouldn't we be the heads and not the tails? And Lord, what are you going to do? You said, go ye into all the world. I know you've counted your resources in advance and found that you're not wanting. There has to be a way to reach the masses throughout London. So I asked Moses Primo, my director of operations, Moses, why don't you check and see what the laws are? So the communication director said, you can't have foreign people coming in, foreigners, to do religious programming. So television is out. Radio is out. You can't do it. I mean, if it could, we would try to do it, but you can't do it. So I said to Moses, try anyway. Just see. See, I've seen God work when, I mean, he amazes me. Every time somebody says something impossible, God is like, really? Really? Well, we'll see about that. Because, see, I'm not doing this for me. I said, Lord, I'm not doing this for me. I don't want to go to London. I don't like big cities. I mean, I'm from a little, my 3ABN, our little town, there's 600 people. And now about a third of that is us, you know, is our employees. So I don't like, I'm from the southern Illinois, it's about 3 hours from Nashville, Tennessee, driving. Some of you have been there at camp meeting. It's a country area, isn't it? It's like West Virginia. Coal mines and farming's the biggest thing going there. So I'm not comfortable in cities, yet I travel in cities around the world and have to drive sometimes and the opposite side of the road and all of that. So I'm not into all that, but I do it because the Lord said, go ye into all the world. So I say, Lord, how are we going to reach the masses of people? So Moses began to work. So the last year and a half that he's been working with the government, working with television networks over there to see what can happen. But the Lord showed us, you know, I sent you here. We saw people. We saw one of the witches who came in, said they had been a witch, had given their life to Jesus, gave their testimony, was baptized. We saw numerous people from all walks of life who literally walked in the church, who had no intentions of going to a church, walked in and gave their hearts to Jesus. Now, what that said to me is the people in London are starving, but if they don't know, how are they going to come? These are just the people who happen by. But the Lord showed me miracle after miracle. One of them was we had gone to every night we had to take a taxi. To go 3 miles might take you 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. So we took a taxi. So I asked the taxi driver each night I talked to them. Wanted to find out a little about them because they come from all different diverse backgrounds. So one night I said to the taxi driver, gave him my address. I said, it's the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You ever hear of Seventh-day Adventist? He said, oh, yeah. I said, really? He said, my father's Seventh-day Adventist. I said, really? I said, how many taxi drivers? Well, first we talked a little bit. I said, well, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Well, I used to be. I said, wow. I said, I don't think that's a coincidence we're here tonight. How many taxi drivers, when I called tonight for your company, how many taxi drivers could have come? He said, we have over 5,000 drivers. So I said, okay, you tell me now if this is coincidence that of 5,000 drivers, you come and you're taking us to an Adventist church. So I said, let me ask you, we got a little ways to go, a little time on our hands. Why don't you go to church anymore? Well, my father and I don't get along. We parted ways. So I said, I'm kind of a straightforward person. Sometimes people say, don't you have a filter? And I think I'm using it. And so I thought I was using it. So I said to him, so you're going to punish your dad by not going to church? That doesn't make sense, right? So I said, so you don't go? No, I don't take my family. And we just, our relationship's too bad. And I said, but wouldn't you really like to have a grandpa in these kids' lives? Wouldn't you like to have a relationship with your daddy? Really, the guy's probably 35 years old. And he actually teared up and he said, I really would. But it's been so long and every time we've gotten together, it just hasn't worked. I said, what's your daddy's name? So he gave it to me. I said, write that down. So we wrote it down. And I said, if I see your daddy, can I tell him that you want to meet him and you want to get together with him and talk and let bygones be bygones? And you know what he said? Yes, I really do. Now, here was my problem. There are 14 different churches. This was the last Sabbath we're there. I could go to any one of those churches. I had no idea. I said, do you know which church your daddy's a member of? He said, I don't. I have no idea. So I said, well, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to let me have contact with your daddy. So we went to church, and I'm sitting there, and all I can think about is his name. And I said, how do I find, there's hundreds of people here, but there's 13 other churches we're visiting, but this is the one that we chose to go to this morning because we had visited different ones trying to reach them all. So how would we reach? So we prayed about it. Our little group was there, and we prayed about it. So we're sitting in the church service, and my daughter said, Daddy, what's the man's name? And I gave him the name, and she said, well, here it is on the bottom of the bulletin with his phone number. Wow. Now, come on, is that coincidence or divine providence? The guy that I'm looking for out of the 5,000 taxi drivers, that's his dad that he's wanting to get back a relationship with. He's an elder in this church, so his phone number's on the bulletin down there. So I said I'd like to find him. As soon as church was over, we had to rush across town, which was really just 2 or 3, 4 miles, to another meeting. I didn't have time to wait, so I asked our bus driver, who was Adventist. The church supplied a van for all of us, about 15 of us. I said, "Do you know this man?" He said, "I do." I said, "Did you see him here at church?" "No, he didn't." And I said, "I really want to see this man before we leave." And he said, "I have no idea how to look, and I know we're on a schedule." And I said, "Okay." So we got in the van, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror. The church is behind us. We're getting ready to leave. And just as we start pulling out, the bus driver says, "Oh, I see him in the rearview mirror." So I said, "Stop, stop." So I jumped out, and I went up to him, and I said, "Last night we took a taxi, and your son was the driver." "My son?" I said, "Yeah." "Is his name?" "Yes." I told him the story. I said, "Your son wants to get together with you, and he wants to be a family, and he wants to come back to church." The man started crying, raising his hands and praising the Lord. He was so excited. I knew God was in the trip to London. I saw miracle after miracle. But we came home, and Moses continued to work with the government, work with the network over there, television network. And I want you to know something. January 1st, 2017, the government of the UK changed its laws to allow foreign broadcasters to come in. Amen. 3ABN is now on 2 full-time channels that, get this, not only reaches 24/7 London, all of England, Northern Ireland, all of Scotland, and all of Wales, the entire United Kingdom is watching 3ABN. 75% of the homes in the UK, 65 million, 75% of those homes now have available to them. That's more than in America. Have available to them 3ABN, 2 channels. And you know what? August 1st, the other 7 channels are going on. We're going to have Trinity Broadcasting was the first religious. They have 1 channel. 3ABN is going to have 9. 9 channels. Every network we have is going to be open to millions and millions of people. Now, can somebody say amen to that? Amen. I mean, I don't know if you're excited or not, but I'm very excited about this. It's amazing that after all these years, God is serious when he said, "Take the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people," because Jesus is not coming back for a defeated church. He's coming back for a purified bride, a purified church, as we talked about last night. And I'm amazed. Now, one of the channels that are next to us is a Muslim channel. There are 3 million Muslims in the UK. And out of those 3 million Muslims, anytime they go to their channel, they're going to see 3ABN right next door. Somebody say amen about that? Amen. I said that to somebody, and they said, "Yeah, you realize how many of them will hate you?" And I said, "Well, it's too late, because Reuters, isn't it called? Reuters News Agency goes around the world. Somebody sent me a picture when then President Obama, a couple years ago, went to the prison. What's the prison that they send all the terrorists to there in Cuba? Guantanamo Bay, right? They sent the president of the United States to Guantanamo Bay, to the prison, and they showed a picture of the jail cells, right, of a prisoner in a jail cell, and it says they have television, and the picture on the screen when the President Obama was in the prison, Guantanamo Bay, in a prison cell, was a big picture of me and C.A. Murray. All right? They're watching 3ABN in Guantanamo Bay. Now, I don't know. Nobody asked us if they could do that. Do I care? No, I care a lot. I'm glad they do. Right? So I said, "Well, if they're mad at me, they're already mad at me, because they already know about me. And the people we know are terrorists already know who 3ABN is and who we are." But I can't worry about any of that. All I can say is praise the Lord. God is in the business of creating miracles. Amen. And today he wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to do a miracle in your life. But I want to tell you, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this, but when you get the book. For everybody you leave, we got one per family. Anybody, any of your churches, when you go back home, if you want these books, they're free. All you pay is the shipping, and that's hardly nothing. The books are free. If you want 500 of them, if you want 1,000 of them, we're going to send them to you free because we believe it's a timely book that needs to get out because this, unlike the other book, The Ten Commandments Twice Removed, that Shelley Quinn and I wrote several years ago, this book is for the church as well as the world. Because in our church, we have a lot of problems. And I think we need to deal with some things within our church. We got to help ourselves before we can help anybody else. And the thing that the Lord had been impressing me is political correctness. Yeah, anybody ever heard that word here? I'm sure you probably don't have it in West Virginia. But political correctness is really killing us as a nation and as a people. Because we're so worried about offending somebody. We're so worried about offending people, we don't want to say anything. We have to love people enough to offend them. Take a chance on offending them. Otherwise, we don't. I said to somebody, Pastor Loma King is one of my neighbors. I can see his house. So I said, what about at 2:00 in the morning, I wake up, go in the bathroom, I look out the window and I see Pastor John and Angie's house on fire. And I say, oh, I got to call John and Angie. Their house is on fire. They're going to burn up. And then a thought comes to my mind. Oh, I don't want to do that. It's 2 in the morning. I might offend them. I might wake them up in the morning. You're not supposed to call people at 2 in the morning. So I let them burn, right? No, what am I going to do? I'm going to call them, right? You see, people are dying all around us spiritually, but we don't want to take a chance on offending them. It's called political correctness. Now, there's always been political correctness. It's come, that's the devil's, that's his modus operandi, is political correctness. So we can go back, and last week I talked about some of this at camp meeting. I won't go through all of it, but we can go back that Christians are involved in political correctness. Now, how do I know? Seventh-day Adventists are very involved in political corrections. How do I know? Because I go on Facebook sometimes, and I see all of your rants and your raves and all your political stuff and all the things that you say, and you send me messages about, and when this last election was unbelievable, Adventists arguing with each over, some Hillary supporters, some Donald Trump supporters, on public forums that the world can see, and we're all arguing and supporting our own and telling how bad the other one is. And I'm amazed at that. What in the world are we doing in the world fighting over politics? Now, I have to tell you this. Anybody that puts their name and signs himself on as a Democrat or a Republican, we then are responsible for everything they do. I mean, honestly, you sign on as a Seventh-day Adventist member, a church member. We are responsible for what this church teaches and what it puts out. We've signed on that says, you know what? We agree with the 28 fundamental beliefs. We agree with this version of the Bible. Now, what happens is when we think that it's innocent or what have you, well, I don't like this person or that person, so we sign on as a Democrat, or we're Republicans. See, some of you are getting quiet already. I can tell your faces have changed. You went from smiling to now looking at me saying he's quit preaching and gone to meddling. I'm not saying that either party has some good things, but the devil comes as an angel of light. That's no big deal, right? If he come and let us see him for what he really is, nobody would want anything to do with sin. But people who get involved in this are concerned, all they're doing is listening to media, listen to liberal media, listen to conservative media, and then they're jumping on sides, spending. Did you know this is the first time in the history of the world that a human being, when I started this in 1984, November, there was no way an individual could talk to millions and millions of people without tremendous amounts of money and without tremendous amounts of technology and putting up building television stations. Now, anybody can go on Facebook, you can put on, or Twitter, these others, put on anything you want, and millions of people around the world can see it. Every one of you now are a mini 3ABN, because you can take what these type of social media and spread the gospel. And I believe that God wants us to use this for that and not to be arguing with each other over who's right and who's wrong. But in my book, I talk about these things, and I talk about the downhill spiral of America. Most of us, I see many of you with the gray hair and a little bit older like myself, and so we can remember when America, we turn on television, when they did have a TV, and if you did, were fortunate enough to have one, it was black and white, and you saw I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver. But now you turn on, there's things like Modern Family and all the homosexual programs on. And if you notice all the sitcoms and all those which I don't watch and can't stand to watch, they all glorify people who are homosexual, gays, lesbians. And so you say, well, that's okay. That doesn't affect the church. We're not into that. No, we are. I have to tell you what, I can't believe the impact that this media is having on our people and on the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We have people who say, we go out and tell, I've been talking back and forth with the pastor's wife, messaging her back and forth on Facebook, because she puts out all of these things about groups like Black Lives Matter, how wonderful they are, and we should support Black Lives Matter. And then we got people who think we should support the other side, you know, the very, very conservative side, alt-right and all of that stuff. I mean, I'm amazed by this. And I said, do we really know what some of these things represent? We're on here jumping into things we know nothing about. And so I'm going to read you just a little bit about it. What I was going to say is political correctness. Way back in America, it was politically correct for Christians to own slaves. Now, how do you justify that? People could own, you could buy, beat, rape, kill slaves, and yet claim to be Christian. Some of our founding fathers, and I could give their names, you can read about it. Some of our founding fathers believed it was okay to own slaves, to beat, to rape, to do whatever you wanted to them. And it's not all right, but it became politically correct to do so. Everybody with me? It became politically correct to do so. Now you jump up 150 years later when you go to groups that we're jumping on as Adventists, endorsing them. And if you all listen long enough, I'll give you some of the other side also. But Black Lives Matter, I looked up, I said, what is it that they believe? And they actually, when you read what they believe, it's amazing. They say, we are transgender affirming. We're committed to embracing, making space for trans brothers and sisters and to participate and lead. We're committed to being self-reflexive and doing the work required to dismantle the cisgender privilege and uplift black trans folk, especially black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by this. They say that they are committed to promoting gay and lesbian lifestyle, and yet many of us are joining on with them. We're actually saying and promoting these on our websites. It's the same thing with the folks to the right. They're putting up things supporting people who are anti-freedom, anti-American, and we're doing it. Now, I'm talking straight to you today because I'm the guy who's here today and gone tomorrow, so I can do it for you. Your pastors have to live with you and deal with you, but I'm going to be gone in a little bit if I live through this one. If you all stay here long enough to hear the rest of the story. I'm not picking on any groups. What I'm saying is I see this coming into our churches. I can tell you, and I'm ashamed to say this, but I can tell you because I've watched the video of one of our churches in California who invited a gay choir to come and do their Christmas program for them. They did a whole Christmas program for nearly an hour, all gay folks for the Seventh-day Adventist Church in one of our churches. We have in one of our churches a transgender man who wears jewelry and earrings and women's dresses, women's wig, and he's the head elder of the Hollywood Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you don't believe me, look it up on the YouTube and you'll see it, and they're talking about it. You see, political correctness says we have to be inclusive. We have to accept everybody. And we have to agree with everybody. Otherwise, we're not really Christian. We're not really Christian. The devil's not going to drown this out by the rain. We'll just turn it up louder, right? We're like, I got to get this off my heart and my mind. We are accepting. We have pastors now. I can say this a little stronger than I did last week because we're not on television here. But we have Adventist pastors who are standing up saying, we are gay and lesbian. I saw a video of one last week and said, the Adventist church has everything right except that. God doesn't care. As long as two people love each other, they can be married. And this woman is a theologian. I see pastors who are now, I talked to one of the conference president, he said as soon as same-sex marriage became law of the land, as soon as it became law of the land, a number of my pastors called me and said, oh good, can we perform gay and lesbian weddings now? These are Seventh-day Adventists, folks. I think I better quit, hadn't I? I'm talking to the wrong audience, I think. Does that bother anybody?
Yes.
Does that bother anybody?
Yes.
I'm amazed that we think, here's what I'm talking to one of the pastor's wives right now, back and forth. I'm saying, you know what? We have no business telling people to keep the Sabbath, that God's laws are important, when we think same-sex marriage and abortion is okay. Now I said another dirty word to many Adventists, abortion. But it has to be talked about. If killing babies breaks the Ten Commandments, why don't we talk about it? If same-sex marriage breaks the Seventh Commandment, why don't we talk about it? Why are we so bold when it comes to the Sabbath, but when it comes to these other topics, we don't want to talk about it because it causes problems, and all of us have somebody in our families and friends who are homosexual. Now, does God love the homosexual people? Absolutely. Absolutely, He does. But, and I love Him. We should. And is anybody above sin? No, we're not. But what I'm trying to get across is, my point is, how the devil gets into the church and people accepting it. For instance, as a what they call straight male, which I hope all of you are here, the males, straight males. Everybody has tendencies. God doesn't judge us on our tendencies, and it's on our abstinence. God will give us victory on whatever. As a straight male, that I can't go out and have relationships with women because that's sin, right? If I talked to one man who said, "But I'm gay. That's the way God made me. I'm that way," and he's actually a choir director of one of our churches. And I said to them, he shouldn't be the choir director. Well, why not? I said, well, let me ask you. I said to the pastor, let me ask you something. If I came to you and said, look, I want to be your choir director, but I'm on drugs and I smoke and drink, would you let me be your choir director? He's going to say, well, absolutely not. Okay, that's fine. He probably should, right? So I go to him and I say, look, I want to be your treasurer, but I have to admit, I just got out of prison. And I'm a kleptomaniac and I have a problem. My father stole and I stole. I mean, it's just in the family. I do steal, but I'd like to be your treasurer. The pastor's going to say, out, right? If I come to you and say, you know what, I want to be your associate youth director. But I smoke a little marijuana. I mean, I don't think that's a bad deal. Sometimes it's even by law, it's allowed. What are you going to say? No. The only thing we don't say no to is same-sex marriage because it's politically correct. Now, what I'm saying is we have standards to hold up. The world, if we're on the internet supporting people and candidates who are supporting same-sex marriage and abortion, you have signed on to that. You are responsible for that. So we have no business as Seventh-day Adventist Christians on the internet and talking to people and getting so involved and supporting earthly candidates. We need to support the Bible. Because when we tell people, I told one pastor, here you are thinking that you're supporting same-sex marriage and abortion by openly supporting on your websites and putting the gay and lesbian colors on your websites, you're openly supporting all of this, but you have, I said, let me give you, well, what's wrong with that? I said, give me an example. Let's say you have an evangelistic series. And an evangelistic series, you have a lady who comes to your church. She's 63 years old, 64. At the end of it, she says, man, I see the Sabbath. I want to accept the Sabbath. This makes sense. I want to do it. But if I do, I'm going to lose my job. And I have to stay till I'm 65 or I'm going to lose my retirement. But what do you tell her? Well, he who puts mother, father, brother, sister ahead of me is not worthy of me. I'm sorry, you really need to God will bless you. God will, you go ahead and you keep the Sabbath. Then she says, but my husband hates Adventists. If I become an Adventist, he's liable to divorce me. And we say, oh, that's terrible. We'll pray for you, but you really got to do what God's impressed you to do. So the lady now makes all of these sacrifices. She becomes a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And then you get up and talk about supporting same-sex marriage and abortion. Somebody with me? The difference is now she's going to say, why can you, it's okay for you to break these commandments, but I couldn't break that commandment. And it's cost me so much. All I'm saying, folks, I didn't want to get off on all of this. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing what the Lord's impressed me to do for whatever reason. If I'm wrong, I apologize to you. But I see in our church that in order to be a church that's effective, that rightly represents God, we have standards and we have to hold to those standards. Doesn't mean we don't love somebody because we don't allow them to be a treasure when they admit they're a thief. That doesn't mean you don't love that. Come and join us. We want you. Homosexuals, gays, people, come join us. Women who've had abortions, God forgives that. God's forgive that. He that's no problem. We love everybody. Somebody who's an adulterer, somebody who's a thief, somebody who's done whatever. The church is a hospital for the sinners, right? It's not a place. Heaven is a place for the saints. But here we should be tolerant and inclusive of everybody when it comes to leading them to Jesus Christ. But we don't need to be tolerant in acceptance, which is political correctness. That's what it's really all about. When it comes to allowing people to come in, put them in positions of authority within the church that are going to affect our young people for tomorrow. Now, did you know that 49% of Adventist young people in high school and academies, this is a survey that just happened last fall council, we heard about it, 49% of Seventh-day Adventist young people in academies and our universities think same-sex marriage is okay. How many did I say? That's basically half. Now, if our young people believe same-sex marriage is okay, what's that going to do to the church of tomorrow? 5 to 10 years from now, if you and me don't stand up, there won't be a Seventh-day Adventist church as we know it. We will be a church that looks like the rest of the world. Now, I'm thankful God said his church is going through, but that doesn't necessarily mean all of us. And there's going to be a lot of bright lights that go out. So my book, what I'm talking about, is the silence of millions. We are responsible when we're silent. When you see things wrong in your church, whether it's church leaders, whether it's people there, you have a right and a responsibility, if you do it in love, and for the right motives, to bring it to light, to say, you know what? This is what the Bible says. This is what we believe as a church. We can't allow this sins to come into our church. Because I'll tell you what happens. I was in Cambodia some years ago. And what happened was, is I was sitting in a beautiful church. It was made out of bamboo and thatch. And so I was there with Garwin McNeilis, and there was 200 people in the church. Everybody was singing. We were having a good time. We were having a fun time in the Lord. But I heard this noise that sounded like a bad PA system. It go, psh, psh, psh. And I said, what is that? Because there was no microphone there, no bad. What is that? He said, well, let me come here. Let me show you. I went to the sides of the buildings, and literally along the entire foundation were millions and millions of termites eating that church to the ground. The people didn't know it. They were in there happy, praising the Lord. But any minute, that church, and within a week or 2 weeks, he said every 6 months, they have to rebuild the churches here because they're eaten from the foundation by the termites. If you and I don't stand up for truth, an undiluted three angels message is one that would counteract the counterfeit, our church is going to be eaten from the foundations. It's going to fall. It's going to collapse. We may have the name, but it's not what Jesus is coming back for. So I'm asking for each and every one of us to resubmit, recommit our lives to Jesus. None of us is perfect. I stand up here before you. I have lots of problems in my life. I'm not above any of this. I'm not judging you. I just know that what we do collectively and as a church and individually, that we need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, what is it you would have us do? What do you want us to do? How can we best honor you? How can we best reflect your character to a lost and dying world? And that's to uphold the standards of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they're built on the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, all of it, right? It's built on the Word of God. So today, and this whole weekend, I've asked last night, we have the book. It's a giveaway. Those of you who want the book later, if you want to pass them out, you read them, you like it, they're free. You can call 3ABN if you want 500 or even 1,000 for your church to pass out to church members and your communities, because we believe people need to hear the truth. Political correctness is eating away at this church. I think it's time that we take a stand and say we are going to uphold the law of God. We're going to uphold the 28 fundamental beliefs of Seventh-day Adventists, and none of us are perfect, but we still have goals. We still have a mission, an objective. We want God to work in us and through us. And so what I'm going to ask you to do today in closing, I did it last night, I'm going to do it again, because Ellen White says that ministers should not let, every time we preach, it's a golden opportunity. It's a golden opportunity to make an appeal, because we don't know the hearts and minds of everyone here. Maybe there's something in your life right now. Something in your life that no one knows about but you. God can give you victory over it. A person that's born, and I want to make this clear, a person, because he's born with homosexual tendencies, that doesn't make him any worse than someone born with what we call natural tendencies. It's what do we do with it. It's a choice. God can give victory over that as well as he can to the adulterer. God can give victory over any sin in your life, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whether it's pride, whether sometimes we're just downright mean to our families and to our people around us, and we don't rightly represent Jesus. We're too critical of people. Today, if there's something in your life and you want God to use you like he's never used you before, I want you to spend just a moment and say, Lord, come into my life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. God has something great and mighty and marvelous that he wants you to do. It's no accident. You're still breathing. You're still on top of terra firma instead of below it. And as long as there's breath, God has a work for us to do. So I want you to think about it. Please don't leave here. You won't leave the same. You will leave changed one way or the other. When an appeal is made, it's a serious thing, because you will either accept the promptings of the Holy Spirit or you'll reject it. So every time there's an appeal made, it's up to you and me to what are we going to do with it. Now, I know I've said a bunch of jumbled up stuff, and if any of it sounds harsh, I don't mean it to be. I love people, I love Jesus, and I only have so much time to get things out. So I ask your forgiveness for those if I've said something. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. I can't point fingers at you, but I believe that it's time we take a stand for this church and what it represents individually and corporately as a people. Support our world president, Ted Wilson. He's a man of God who literally is holding firm, and yet all around him are people trying to tear down the pillars of this church. But he's standing there. Many of the men are standing up for what is best and what God would have us to do. Yet we have people all around. The devil is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I'm come to give you life and give it more abundantly. So today, in closing, I want to take just a moment, and I'm going to just give you a minute or so of silent prayer. You can kneel, you can stand, you can sit right where you are. God hears your prayers. But I want you to think about it. If you look back in your life over the last 6 months, are the things of earth growing strangely dim in the light of Christ's glory and grace? Are the things that you loved, once loved, are you now beginning to hate? Jesus says, if I be lifted up from this earth, will draw all men unto me. We have a tremendous responsibility. It's a privilege, but a tremendous responsibility as Seventh-day Adventist Christians to reflect the character of God in our lives so that people will be drawn to Jesus. And when he comes back in the clouds of glory, we each can look up and say, lo, this is our God whom we've waited for. He's come to save us. In the beginning of the program, we took a few moments to reflect on those just this past year in this conference who are now laid to rest. I will promise you, next year at this time, either I won't be here, some of you won't be here. This crowd will never gather again this side of heaven, only when we get to heaven. So for us, eternity is very close for many of us. What are you going to do with the time that we have left? Are we going to spend it for Jesus? I'm going to give you just a moment, and it'd be a great time, no matter who you are, what your positions are in the church or not, to ask Jesus to come into your life and use you as a vessel of honor. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you from your sins and to cleanse you, all of us, from all unrighteousness. I'm going to give you a moment to pray, and then I'm going to say a closing prayer. Dear Father, you know each and every one of us here. You know our hearts, you know our desires, our thoughts, everything about us. When you were hanging on the cross, you could see us. And you knew there would be a people willing to give their lives unto death. And yet somehow so many of us, including myself, from time to time, we get drawn away from our focus, from our mission. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me where I have failed you and the mistakes that I've made. I'm thankful that I can come to you and you're willing to forgive me. You're willing to throw my sins to the east, far as the east is to the west, to bury them in the bottom of the sea. And Lord, I know there are other people just like me here today that we have things in our life, whether it's just pride, whether it's selfishness, whether it's habits that the devil has us involved in, whether it's political correctness, whether we're in a position that we are not good husbands or good wives, mothers or fathers. Father, I pray for each one of us today that we can see revival and reformation within our hearts because we know that you will give us victory. We know that when you come back, those of us who are willing to stand up and follow you and proclaim your three angels' messages to a lost and dying world, you have a home prepared for us on the sea of glass. Help us to be vessels of honors that everybody we come in contact with will see Jesus in us. I ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen.